In the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Prayer to Christ the King. O Jesus Christ, I acknowledge Thee as universal King. All that has been made has been created for Thee. Exercise all Thy rights over me. I renew my baptismal vows, renouncing Satan, his pomps, and his works, and I promise to live as a good Christian. In particular, do I pledge myself to labor to the best of my ability for the triumph of the rights of God and of Thy Church. Divine Heart of Jesus, to Thee do I proffer my poor services, laboring that all hearts may acknowledge Thy sacred kingship, and that thus the reign of Thy peace be established throughout the whole universe. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are looking at My Catholic Faith, Lesson 96, on Religion and Superstition. Okay, the images we have at the top of fortune tellers and various superstitions. A woman looks like reading cards, a man looking at a calendar with October, Friday the 13th, a woman crossing a black cat, the breaking of a mirror, walking under a ladder. And the above, the caption reads, above are illustrated some of the most common forms of superstition. Sick people or their relatives sometimes resort to witchcraft in a vain hope of a cure. Many otherwise sensible people resort to fortune tellers to find out about the future. Others believe in signs and omens. Superstition, aside from being against the virtue of religion, fetters the mind. First question, how do we worship God by the virtue of religion? We worship God by the virtue of religion by adoring Him alone as the one and supreme being, the chief expression of adoration being prayer. We adore God by acknowledging His infinite excellence, our complete dependence upon Him, our absolute subjection to His will. We pray to God by lifting up our minds and hearts to Him. Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, veneration of saints, relics, and images are not opposed to this virtue. We do not worship the saints. We only honor them as the special friends and servants of God. We adore God alone. Neither do we worship images and sacred pictures or relics. We only pay them honor as belonging to or representing God or the saints. In a similar manner, we commonly cherish the photographs of our dear friends. The principal sins against the virtue of religion are superstition, sacrilege, idolatry, and simony. We fail in our duty of worship when we give ourselves to creatures apart from God, when we spend our lives for the world, for material interest, in pride, lust, or avarice. When does a person sin by superstition? A person sins by superstition when he attributes to a creature a power or attribute that belongs to God alone. Examples of superstitious practices are the use of charms or spells, belief in fortune-telling and dreams. As today practiced, all these superstitions are mere nonsense. They may be taken only as some social fun, like bingo. Only idiots actually believe in these practices, and mascots, omens, astrology. Some people might have a problem with the word idiot there, but I guess it's old people, old books don't. As totally practiced, manifestations of superstitious beliefs are fraudulent. Those, quote, magicians merely perform sleight of hand tricks. The, quote, witches, quote, fortune tellers, and quote, spiritists only use their sharp faculties of observation and their retentive memory. And yet, there are still unintelligent persons who believe in lucky and unlucky days, lucky and unlucky numbers. They actually believe finding a horseshoe is good luck, breaking a mirror means 7 years bad luck, and so on and on and on. On the contrary, all is nonsense to be laughed at. A charm is anything used with the belief that it has magic power to protect. Spells are words by the saying of which the superstitious believe evil can be averted or good fortune obtained. It is foolish to interpret dreams because they are most often the result of too heavy a supper. The quote dreams in the Holy Scripture and the lives of the saints are, more properly speaking, revelation or inspiration rather than dreams. God uses particular means for exceptional cases. Spiritism consists in attempts to communicate with the spirits of the dead or with other spirits, usually by the use of mediums and seances. Magic refers to manifestations of wonders through the intervention of evil spirits, whether real or pretended, going as far as invocation of devils. There is no positive proof that a spiritist or magician has been able to communicate with the spirits of the dead. Houdini, who was the greatest of all magicians, laid a public wager that he could reproduce any spiritistic manifestation by using purely natural means. None of the thousands of magicians and spiritists of his time took him up. If there was such a thing as fortune-telling, why do not those fortune-tellers improve their own fortunes by foretelling the rise of the stock market and buying up all the stock? Then they would not need to labor at the telling of fortunes, at only so much per fortune predicted. When does a person sin by sacrilege? A person sins by sacrilege when he mistreats sacred persons, places, or things. Sacrilege is a kind of blasphemy consisting of the violation or profanation of a person, place, or thing consecrated to God. For example, it is sacrilege incurring excommunication to lay violent hands upon a priest, a nun, or any other person consecrated to God. It is sacrilege to commit acts of impurity or of violence, like killing or fighting in a church or consecrated graveyard, to receive the sacraments unworthily, to steal sacred vessels or other church property, to do damage in a church, to despise relics and holy pictures, mutilate images, etc. Balthasar, king of Babylon, was guilty of sacrilege when he used the sacred vessels of the Temple of Jerusalem as drinking cups at a feast. His punishment, as announced by the handwriting on the wall, is well known. In order to avoid possible disrespect to sacred images and holy pictures that are already too old to use, we should burn them. When does a person sin by idolatry? A person sins by idolatry when he pays to a creature the supreme worship due to God alone, as creator and preserver of all things. Divine honor is to be paid to God alone. In the early days of Christianity, many Christians were put to death for refusing to burn incense before idols. The old Egyptians and many pagans today worship the sun, fire, or animals like the crocodile. God punished the Israelites for their idolatry. One who knows the Catholic Church to be the true church, yet refuses to join and obey it, is guilty of resisting the known Christian truth, a form of idolatry, since by it one stubbornly denies due worship to God. The scribes and Pharisees knew well all the prophecies concerning the Messiah. Jesus Christ Jesus Christ proved himself the promised Messiah by wonderful miracles after announcing himself as the Son of God. But their pride was a barrier to their humble acknowledgement of Jesus. They calumniated and persecuted him to the limit. They were guilty of resisting the known Christian truth. Freemasons may be guilty of this sin if they will not permit a priest to approach them on their deathbed. Quote, they stop their ears not to hear and make their heart as the adamant stone. From chapter 7, verse 11. When does a person sin by simony? A person sins by simony when he buys or sells sacred or spiritual things or positions. The term simony comes from Simon Magus, who offered the apostles money to give him the power of giving the Holy Ghost. From the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. It is simony to sell a rosary for more than its ordinary price on account of a blessing it has. Thus sold indulgence objects lose their indulgences. Giving a priest money to say Mass for our intention is not simony, because we do not and cannot buy a Mass. The money is only an offering towards the materials for the Mass and to help support the priest. As St. Paul says, quote, "They who serve the altar have their share with the altar." So also the Lord directed that those who preach the gospel should have their living from the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9:14. It would not be for the dignity of the priesthood, nor for the benefit of religious work, if priests needed to labor at secular occupations to support themselves. That ends the reading of Lesson 96 on My Catholic Faith. Do you have any questions or comments?
So in here it talks about magic, Your Excellency, but if you are going to like a card show or like a magician is performing a card act, there's nothing wrong with that because we'd recognize that it's all natural, it's just that sleight of hand. Is that correct?
That is correct. That's what I would say, that you're there for entertainment. It's not a belief in this practice. But now if you believe that he has some kind of supernatural power, then it becomes superstitious. And of course, there was a time when Catholics would not go there because it would lead to scandal, that because so many people would think that he believed it, that Catholics would be forbidden not to attend such things. But I think in our world today, it is, only idiots actually believe these practices. So I believe that's what the book says here. We should not scandalize the idiots either, though. So we should make sure that anyone who may be or potentially scandalized should know that we do not believe that they have any actual supernatural power, that all supernatural acts come from God and not by magic. I was mentioning to Sister before class started that I believe many Catholics are actually guilty of superstition, using religious articles and sacramentals. And I mentioned, it seems to me that I've come across so many Catholics who say you can wear the brown scapular and basically sin on bravely. As Martin Luther said, just believe and sin on bravely. As long as you die with this cloth around your neck, you're not going to go to hell. And I preached on that many times, that that is a false interpretation. That is not what the scapular means at all. That's not what the promise means. I think we need to look beyond just the materialism and the physical things that are being done and see to the supernatural, the spiritual. And if you join the Carmelite order and you die following the rule of the Carmelite order, I don't have a problem saying you're going to go to heaven or that you won't go to hell. But I will say the same. If you are a Jesuit and you live by the rule of the Jesuits, you won't go to hell. Or a Franciscan or a Benedictine or any of these religious. And basically, when we are enrolled in the Brown Scapular, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, we are enrolled into the Carmelite order. And I would say, as long as you follow that rule and live that life, you won't go to hell. You won't suffer the fires of hell. And I believe that's what's understood. Whosoever dies in this habit or in this scapular, wearing this, that is, living this life, putting this life on as a garment and living it, they will not suffer the fires of hell. But it is not simply just put the cloth on and sin on bravely, because Mary has promised that you won't go to hell. So I think perhaps superstition has a way of sneaking in, I think, in a lot of people's devotions or practices. Any other questions, comments? Okay, I have had individuals think that if they don't say their rosary one day that they have committed a sin. You're under no obligation to say the rosary. That is something that is supplemental to or an aid to your devotion, to your spiritual life, but it is not a sin if you have forgotten or neglected your rosary. It would become sinful if you were to disparage the rosary or to heap insult or scorn or abuse your physical rosary out of a contempt or a hatred for God or the Blessed Mother. That would be sinful. But our negligence or carelessness is not necessarily sinful. And of course, everything needs to be taken in the context in which we are observe it. Okay. No other questions or comments. We'll end with the act of resignation to the divine will. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. O Lord my God, I now at this moment readily and willingly accept at thy hand whatever kind of death it may please thee to send me, with all its pains, penalties, and sorrows. Benedictio de omnipotentis, Patris, et Filii, et Spiritus Sancti descendet super vos, et maniat semper. Amen.
Thank you, Your Excellency.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Your Excellency. Good night.